yourself this phase, just trying to holler at y'all and see what's going on. Had a lot on my mind, reminiscing, trying to figure out these things that are going on my mind. Trying to figure out some puzzles. I'm not here to start nothing. I ain't trying to start nothing. Just got some things that I want to get done. Some things that I want to get solved. Some things I want to enlighten myself with. So maybe y'all take a time and to get the opportunity to stop by and listen to my thoughts. Hope so. Very intellectual. So if you get time, just holler at me. I'm reminiscing all in my room, just trying to figure out a whole lot of things. Until then, y'all have a great day, and thank you for coming in and listening to me. Thanks.
I study the Bible, so I know it well. Yeah, can't let nobody make my soul for sale. Can't even lie, yeah, I still struggle, but I know myself. I fear God, I told him I don't want to go to hell. Pray for the sermon, I'll be asking what's the gift in me. Must be this music, cause the world think I'm so sick with it. I switch my style, some people love it, some trying to get with it. I think what matters most is I'm living out what's God written. I make mistakes, but I embrace them, I'm still human. I'm still human. I escape from that place that made me feel ruined. So every day I still chase what I think I'm losing. And pray to God in the end that I don't look stupid. Why do I feel I'm unable, double-minded, I'm unstable? Wanna put all me on the table so God can make me an angel. Was living life like Cain cause I was jealous of Abel. God told me, look up, child, I just wanna save you. I need to hear your voice in life so I could get through this. For you, I shoot for the stars every time and I don't miss. Every time I drop a hit, I still don't feel the bliss. And deep down I know it's only cause I'm still living in sin. You transformed my pen, they laughed at me, now I'm laughing with them. Transform my gifts, so now I can't even rap with them. I need to use my talents cause the devil be distracting them.
Iran's hardliners screaming death to America and death to Israel at Tehran's main Friday prayers. The message here, Iran is ready for a confrontation. In fact, we are even happy about this man says. We are praying day and night for a second and third attack. And he says, we've had these threats for a long time, but the difference is now the people are strong, the IRGC is strong, and the army is strong, and we have strong tools. And this cleric says, if the Islamic Republic of Iran will have more conflicts in the future, it doesn't mean we are warmongering, we're just reacting to the bullies. I believe the situation will get worse, this man says, as both sides are more combative, and in my opinion, it will lead to war and to calamity for people. And this woman says, we are definitely concerned, worried, but what can we ordinary people do?
If you're watching this pre-recorded report, then Al Jazeera has been banned in the territory of Israel.
The Qatar-based news network published this pre-recording after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ordered the closure of Al Jazeera in the country.
They've banned our website, including anything that has the option of entering or accessing the website.
Video obtained by CNN showed Israeli police and agents of the Israel Security Agency entering their broadcasting position in Jerusalem.
They confiscated the equipment and closed the office as per the order. Read us the order, they've gone down the other way.
A spokesperson for Prime Minister Netanyahu said Al Jazeera reporters, quote, harmed Israel's security and incited against IDF soldiers. They also called the network a, quote, mouthpiece of Hamas. Al Jazeera denied the, quote, false allegations regarding our violation of the professional frameworks governing media work and called the ban a criminal act that infringes on the right to access information.
It's a wide-ranging ban. We don't know how long it will be in place for, but it does cover this territory of the State of Israel.
Good one, sir. That was good. We all here was fooled been thinking y'all finna open up a portal and thinking all this stuff here. Everybody thinking it's a portal. They getting rid of it. It was going to open up on April the 8th and it's going to get the powers. It was clever. And it took me a minute. I will admit, it took me a minute. But did nobody peek the play? They changed timelines. Yes, everybody was about to receive their powers. And yes, they figured out that they could not get the hell out of here. One thing, they do have an ace card at the very last minute. That's why they fired it up. They still, so now, and I'm not saying this particular thing will happen, but think about things like this. How many times have Bob Barker then came back to life, and Betty White then died again, and et cetera, et cetera. Think these, the names have changed on something. They switched the timeline at the last second to save themselves, but they know they're not going to be able to keep switching it for long, and it's going to happen. So what happened was they blocked it with the fake sun, sandwiched the real, the Nibiru, blocking it for the time being, and they switching the timelines right now. So if y'all start to see funny things happening and y'all get headaches and be sick, it's timeline. They jumping right now. Y'all know they've been jumping this whole time trying to get away. The one thing that what was his name said? Thanos said, inevitability. And that's the one thing they can't escape.
Much more educated about this than I am.
No, my people was destroyed. My parents don't know the Israelites. You know where your father from. You can tell me your father, where your father is from. You can tell me all that. I can tell you. I don't have the history. You have the history. What you all said to them, you all said to acknowledge your history. And you all accept it like it's a perk. Yes. That's why I asked you if you could compare your Holocaust to what happened to black people in slavery. You can't do it. Why? Because you come. How much of you all were destroyed in the Holocaust? It's over what? 6 million, right? How many of us was destroyed in slavery? How many? Come on, make a big guess. So now, tell me if that isn't worse than what you call a Holocaust.
It's pretty bad.
Okay, so I literally stepped away for 1 second to have a nice little glass of wine. I mean, because it's 211 days into this genocide, and at this point, baby, I'm tired. So apparently what's been going on... Hold on. Oh, that's little. Go ahead and get y'all a glass or something, because, baby, you gonna need it. It's getting real in the field. So apparently word on the street is Hamas intended on accepting the terms and agreements in which they were supposed to be agreeing on for the ceasefire. But if you guess that BB sabotaged the situation again, then bitch, you're right. I got the information for y'all. Let's get into it. So yet again, Benjamin Netanyahu has undermined the negotiations between Hamas and Israel, and agreement is unlikely for now. So basically, they're the ones who set the terms in which they're supposed to be doing this hostage exchange, in which they're supposed to be coming to a ceasefire. Hamas agreed to them, but then he said, wait. I didn't know you would actually agree to it. I thought that I could lowball this agreement so low that you would then purposely say, bitch, you got me fucked up, okay? But now you done agree to the things that I'm asking you to agree on? How you gonna try to make me the bad guy? How you make me the bad guy? Hamas apparently smelled bullshit from a mile away and said, okay, I see you lowballing me an offer, and I'm gonna up it. And not only am I gonna up it because I do want the people in Tel Aviv to get the family members back, and I do want the stuff that's happening to the Palestinians in my own homeland to stop happening, I'm willing to go ahead and agree with you. Listen, month, then you're 100% correct. Because judging from what's coming down the pipeline on the telly, and just so you know, the telly been jumping. They picked up on that, and they knew that this man was bluffing. They agreed to the terms. They still kept it cute, kept it professional. But again, BB sabotaged it, okay? Officials from Hamas are reportedly frustrated with Israel's refusal to agree to complete a cessation of the war in Gaza and withdraw troops. So no matter what they do, basically, he's going to do the opposite. He doesn't want, he wants to continue with the ethnic cleansing, in which he sent out a video to the people that's protesting in Tel Aviv right now, begging and pleading for them to stop and explaining to them that he doesn't want the genocide to end. Yes, he wants the people to come back, but he doesn't want the genocide, and he wants to finish ethnically cleansing Palestine, in his own words, verbatim. Now, remember we talked about earlier this past week that Saudi Arabia basically bent over and spread them things wide and far for America? Well, yeah, they kissed the hand of America, and by them things, I mean their lips, because they did kiss the hand of Joe Biden when they, you know, agreed to, you know, continue working with America, right? So now the United States is now flipping a bitch and telling them that they will not sign any form of defense agreement with Saudi Arabia unless the kingdom agrees to normalize relations with Israel. Now, I hate to say I told you so, Saudi, but I told you so. The minute America got exactly what they wanted, they would not give you what you wanted until you gave them more. That's why we kept telling you. I'm not even going to say it. Because you got yourself into this. You got yourself into this, and you're going to have to get yourself out. We don't care. I promise you, we don't care. And whatever happens to Saudi Arabia with the surrounding countries is based off of your own decisions. You made your decision. You chose your side. And we get it. You did this whole flip-floppy thing to try and throw people off your scent. But we knew this entire time that she was the ops. Like, What happens to Saudi is just what happens to Saudi. Like, you chose your side. So America and them agreed on the details of the new package that was supposed to be coming down the line. So America agreed, since they have an airbase there, they're supposed to be helping them with defense and all types of stuff, right? But now America's saying, wait. But didn't you just tell my homie that you won't help them and that you won't be in trade agreements with them because of whatever personal reasons you have? Yeah. I don't care. I agreed. I never said that we were going to sign the defense deal. I said that we would talk about it. And we talked about it. We came up with the terms and agreements in which we both agreed on. But I'm not signing, okay? I'm not signing on no advanced weapons for Saudi Arabia as well as their air defense systems until you agree to normalize relations with Israel. And that's just what it is. Now, this news comes to us from the Financial Times and also Megatron. If you would like, go ahead and see if you can look it up on Megatron's X account. Damn, Saudi. Listen, that's salty. That puts a whole new name to Saudi Arabia. That was inappropriate. Seeing as though Al Jazeera's offices have been getting shut down one by one, this was a hurt piece straight to the heart, because Al Jazeera has been one of the top news reporting agencies that's been providing us with the real deal. Holyfield, outside of Eye on Palestine and Middle East News, they have been holding it down for the Palestinians in the Middle East. And just to see Netanyahu's cabinet, who recently voted on closing Al Jazeera's offices in Israel, which is crazy. It's crazy. But I mean, hey, he's just starting to look more and more desperate each day. Now to the meat and potatoes of what we've been trying to get to. Netanyahu decided to defend himself to the people. I watched the whole video. The video is in Hebrew. Unfortunately, I cannot understand Hebrew. That's not a language that I can fully or fluently understand. But this 2 minutes and 40-something seconds video, I'm sorry, 2 minutes and 32 seconds video, in which he states he is blocking the deal because he is against a ceasefire and wants to finish the ethnic cleansing in Rafah. As of today, there has been several Israeli strikes on Rafah. Not near Rafah, not around Rafah, which days ago they were striking around Rafah. Since then, they've decided to go into Rafah and they've been airstriking. So all eyes on Rafah and the DRC, but all eyes on Rafah too. Again, as I stated, they hope that Netanyahu hoped that Hamas would reject Israel's offer. When it didn't, he turned to sabotage. From the articles that we've written, I'm just showing you the major bullet points, but from the articles that I read on this from Israel, Haaretz News as well, from the articles that they're writing, everyone can tell that this was a blatant backdoor sabotage situation. Period. Period. I mean, from jump, they're just now admitting it. But yeah, we could all tell that this was a sabotage situation. And I guess I hoped and prayed that he wouldn't self-sabotage the situation. But as you can see, plain and clear, that man does not want this genocide to end. And as a result, the United States moved forward with suspending the delivery of weapons to Israel. Now, do I think that this is permanent? Absolutely not, because these two, they stay fighting, and they want us all involved in their relationship, and I'm over it at this point. As you can see, Israel's Haaretz reported that Netanyahu hoped Hamas would reject it. This is the article that I'm talking about, so if you can... You can go to Haaretz. They have the article, and you can read the entire article. And just judging from the way the whole situation went from start to finish, you can tell it was a sabotage deal from the jump, and that Hamas definitely picked up on that energy and purposely said, okay, let's do it. Come on, let's do it. In which he said, damn, shit, fuck. Thus concluding that Israel, okay, is weak as hell, and they never had any intentions on actually getting those hostages back, which is the same thing that we've been saying this entire time. Everyone who survived on October 7th was never supposed to survive. And you can tell, because why the hell did they bring out a Apache helicopter? But I mean, I digress. Y'all been saying that I've been wrong, but I mean, this proves that we've been right this entire time. He never meant for them to make it. And they were never supposed to make it. I honestly feel like the whole reason why they haven't been able to get as far as they want to get is because those people survived. So as a result, Israel started forcefully shutting down critical news outlets in an authoritative move to control media coverage. So the government, the Israeli government, is forcefully shutting down as we speak. Okay, as a result of that, the new order includes confiscating broadcast equipment, preventing expositionatory reports, and blocking websites of journalists. Now, this comes shortly after the United States put into action that you cannot speak anything negative about Israel, basically showing that they're trying to control the narrative. Another weak attempt at them trying to prove to the whole world that they're really the good guys and that they are indeed trying to defend themselves. Well, shutting down media outlets does not point to the fact that you're defending yourself and that you're a victim. In fact, it looks like you have something to hide, which is exactly what the whole world has been speculating this entire time. Not only that, you're the bad guy. You're the antagonizer. You're the antagonist, not the protagonist, baby. You're not the victim. So not only is Al Jazeera getting shut down, but several other major news networks, such as Haaretz, who have also called out Israel on, or the Israeli government on their BS, is also getting shut down. Let me know what y'all think.
The U.S. losing to Putin, more than 1,000 U.S. military personnel getting kicked out of Niger. An essential military agreement falling apart. Niger, once a major American ally, turning instead to Putin. Russia has been feverishly working to expand its presence, not just in Niger, but across all of Africa, mineral-rich and many, many countries, with one top U.S. military official warning that several African nations are, quote, at the tipping point of falling under Russia's influence. Out front now, John Sullivan, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia. And ambassador, you know, we have seen this in countries, Mali, Burkina Faso, across Africa. Now you've got 1,000 Americans kicked out of Niger, a 10-year deal over. This was a crucial location for U.S. troops, counter-terror efforts, Putin now gaining ground. Can you explain why this matters so much?
Sure. Thanks, Erin. It's great to be with you. Yeah, this has been a longstanding problem that the Russians, through their proxy organizations like the Wagner Group, have been working to ingratiate themselves into these countries. It undermines the United States counterterrorism mission. It allows them to expropriate the natural resources of these countries, valuable natural resources, gold, including some that are essential for U.S. national security, like uranium. In Niger, for example. So it's a national security problem for the United States, but it's even bigger problem for all the people who live in these countries, whose autocratic governments are now associating with what amounts to a private military contractor / terrorist organization like the Wagner Group.
And you mentioned the Wagner Group. You know, before Prigozhin was killed in that plane crash, after his attempted coup, you know, we had marched half of the way to Moscow. He and his mercenary army were, you know, deeply involved in Africa, right? That was where he had actually gotten so much of his money. from all of the minerals and all of the deals that he did, natural resources, weapons running. And can you tell me how active they still are, the Wagner Group, and what are the mercenaries, how are they getting mercenaries there?
Well, Aaron, it's really like a franchise, the way to think of it. The Wagner Organization, we call it Wagner, it was really a bunch of corporate shell companies that recruited Russian military, other military personnel to go in and provide security services to autocrats in these countries. The franchise founder has been eliminated by Vladimir Putin, and now they're recruiting more military personnel to go in and undermine security, undermine the counterterrorism mission in these countries, support autocrats, and undermine the West.
So former President Trump has just done an interview with Nigel Farage of the UK, and they talk about Vladimir Putin, specifically Trump's relationship with Putin, and how Trump says things would be very different if he were president right now. I wanted to play the exchange for you, Ambassador.
Is Putin the kind of man we can negotiate with?
Yeah, I think he is.
Do you?
So we did very well with him. Look, you know, I'm the one that was the one, I stopped the pipeline. Nord Stream 2. People don't realize that. You know, they say, I like Putin. I got along with Putin great.
Putin responds to strength.
I don't know. I don't know what he responds to. He responded to me.
Ambassador, you are one of the few now who in these past years have seen Putin and Trump up close. So what do you think about this right now? Is Vladimir Putin right now the kind of person anyone can negotiate with?
Well, I think former President Trump's approach to Putin, like his approach to other world leaders, was highly personal. He wanted to engage in personal diplomacy, develop a relationship with world leaders, including Putin, even when it was inconsistent with longstanding U.S. foreign policy and national security policy. His rationale was that he could develop a relationship and then do good things for the United States. But a leader like Putin can't be manipulated that way. And President Trump thought that he could develop this personal relationship, and it just wouldn't work. Didn't work then, won't work in the future.
All right, thank you very much.
How many civilians do you believe you've killed?
Man-made,
We don't have exact figures, as you know, it's the fog of war.
You've got exact numbers from the last terrorists you've killed. Why wouldn't you know how many civilians you've killed?
Because obviously our focus is to go after the Hamas terrorists, and
that does imply that you're putting a bigger premium on killing Hamas terrorists in terms of numbers and accountability than you are on innocent civilians. That can't be right, surely. If you know exactly how many Hamas terrorists you've killed, you must know how many civilians you've killed. Otherwise, you're prioritizing the lives of terrorists over innocent people.
Piers, with respect, don't put words into my mouth, please. I didn't say exactly 14,000. I said around 14,000. Whereas Hamas will come out with precise numbers that statisticians will look at.
Give me a ballpark number for civilians.
Well, of course, you can use the ballpark as far as the Hamas figures, which I reject as being false.
Well, if they're false, why would you give me those?
I gave you the numbers that I had.
No, you told me you know how many Hamas terrorists you've killed, but you don't seem to have any idea how many civilians you've killed. I'm just bemused. Why wouldn't you keep count of both?
I don't have that information to give you, Piers. If I did, I would.
You've literally no idea how many civilians you've been killing.
I can tell you definitively that our aim is to go after Hamas.
No, I'm sorry to push you on this. That's quite extraordinary. You're an official spokesman for the Israeli government, and you have no idea how many civilians you've killed. I thought you just told me that you were particularly careful about not killing civilians. But if you don't know how many you've killed, how can you say that with any certainty?
Because even if you were to go by a ratio of the Hamas figures, we would still be far ahead of
that wasn't my question. You know it wasn't my question.
I don't have the information.
Well, you literally have no idea how many civilians you've killed.
It's not that I don't know. I'm not authorized to give the information. I don't have the information.
That's complete nonsense. Why are you authorized to give me the number of terrorists you've killed, but not the number of civilians? I don't understand. Can you explain?
Piers, we will go after Hamas. We will ensure that we...
you want me to believe you're being incredibly careful about how many civilians you're killing, and you have an amazing exemplary record, but you don't know how many civilians you're killing. So how do I know you've been careful?
Piers, when the dust settles, we will come out with the proper numbers. Hamas runs to the press daily.
But you, when the dust settles, a lot of people will have died. And you know how many Hamas you've killed, but you don't know how many civilians you've killed. And I'm just asking you why. Why is it you've kept a record of one, but not the other?
I personally don't have that information to give to you. You can ask me over and over. I'm not going to come up with more information. I don't
know.
I don't have the information for you.
But you're an official government spokesman for the Israeli government, and you have no idea.
Piers, I came on here to focus on what's going on with the war.
Well, actually, you came on here to answer my questions, I think.
Yeah, and I don't have an answer for you for that.
And so. I didn't intend to press you on this point because I assumed that you would not respond the way you have. But I've never had an Israeli spokesman who simply said, I have no idea. Particularly after you boasted about the fact that you've been very smart in the way you've avoided killing civilians. How do you know if you've got no idea how many you've killed?
Because I know the way in which the IDF operates. I know the way in which we go after the terrorists in the best possible way. It's not what I've said. It's what General Petraeus has said. It's what John Spencer from West Point has said. It's what multiple British generals have said. Israel goes out of its way to avoid civilian casualties. That's what we'll do. If you can point to me to another conflict by which they have evacuated, got out of harm's way civilians to the extent that Israel has done, then fine.
With respect, Mr. Hyman, how can you possibly expect me to accept any comparisons to any other conflict or war, given that you do not know how many civilians you've killed?
Piers, you understand that I can't prosecute the war over the media.
I'm just asking you for basic information. I'm not trying to trap you, and I'm not trying to unfairly harangue you. I think people are watching this and they'll make their own conclusions. I just find it astonishing that the moment I asked you how many Hamas you killed, you could tell me immediately, and the moment I ask you about civilians, you haven't got a clue, literally. That you're not even prepared to issue a ballpark number. And I think people will find that staggering, particularly given that you are insistent that you're doing everything you can to avoid killing civilians. To which, again, I just simply ask, how do you know? If you don't know how many you're killing, how can you possibly be sure that you are A, doing better than other people waging war elsewhere, or B, that you have any idea how many you're killing? You don't, clearly.
The IDF monitors every single action that it takes. It weighs out the options.
It doesn't tell you, the official spokesman.
And it avoids civilian casualties in the best possible way.
How do you know, Mr. Hyman?
With
respect, you come on here as the official Israeli government spokesman, and you don't want to be asked how many you've killed because you don't know, and yet you want us to draw comparisons to other conflicts in a positive way for Israel, and you want to tell me that IDF make a record of every single thing they're involved in, but they don't give it to you, the government spokesman, so that when I ask you, you have no idea. Do you understand how ridiculous that sounds? With respect.
With all due respect, I've told you that even if you were to use the Hamas figures, the ratio would still be better than any other army, and that's where the comparison can be done. However, we know above and beyond that that the Hamas figures are not accurate, and we know from former conflicts that Hamas throws in anyone that's, you know, someone could have passed away from a heart attack, someone could have...
Why is it after previous death tolls have been released by Hamas through the Palestinian Health Authority, they've actually turned out to be ones that Israel has concurred with in the main? Can you not count either?
Piers, we're in the fog of war. We're fighting for our very existence.
No, you're not foggy when it comes to killing terrorists. You're only foggy, it seems to me, when it comes to killing civilians. How many civilians do you believe you've killed?
I've been seeking ya. I've been holding on. I've been trusting ya. I've been holding on. I've been seeking ya. I've been holding on. I've been trusting ya. I've been holding on. This storm is almost gone, and I've been holding on. I've been trusting. I've been holding on. I've been seeking ya. I've been holding on. It won't be long.
No longer news that France has lost its hold in the Sahel, and it's gradually losing its hold on the rest of the continent. While this is great news for Africans who have suffered under this influence and the system established by France, the authorities in France are not happy about this spectacular defeat. The very idea that their former colonies, which have been under their thumb for centuries, could break out is galling and embarrassing for France. This is not surprising given that France was only able to rise and maintain its position as one of the superpowers in the world because of its hold and influence in Africa. Certainly, they wouldn't want to let go completely without doing anything to attempt to regain that influence. Unfortunately for them, the die has been cast and things can never go back to the way it was before. The end of Françafrique is here. And, if you watch the news, it would seem that France's relationship with Africa has taken a backseat. Nobody is giving it any attention because the military juntas of the Sahel seat a serious blow to France. Right now, it's the U.S. relationship with Africa that is in the spotlight, with Niger kicking out the U.S. forces and Chad threatening to follow likewise. These changes in the Sahel, where African leaders are taking the sovereignty of their countries into their hands, have not gone down well with some people. The idea that one of the poorest countries in the world could kick out the military forces of two world superpowers in the space of 1 year has angered a former French military general, François Lecointre, causing him to come out to speak his mind on the issue. What he said was not shocking, but only buttressed the fact that Europe and the West are not friends of Africa. And any African leader that thinks otherwise is just foolish and greedy. General Lecointre, former chief of defense staff, was once commander of the European Union training mission in Mali from January to July 2013. In 2019, after a UN report blamed French troops for killing 19 civilians in an airstrike on a wedding in Mali, Lecointre told the French newspaper Le Figaro that the report contained errors and signs of bias and was designed to turn local people against France. During the same interview, he stated that he believed Europe would still be fighting Islamist extremism in the Sahel in 10 years, and European forces would be more deeply involved than they are now. In response to the diminishing French presence in the Sahel, General Lecointre stated in an interview with the French newspaper Le Figaro that he fears that Europe is abandoning its responsibility to the African continent at a critical time. It's no longer news.
Israel should be treated like any other country. But is it? Is the vetting process really the same for all countries? Let's pull back the curtain. Mr. Richardson, does the United States vet each unit of a country's military individually before they receive security assistance?
Our vetting process is focused on non-US based NGOs. And so it does not include PIOs and generally does not include foreign militaries. And the way that we do partner vetting in sort of a foreign assistance way.
But do you vet at the individual? Does the Leahy Law generally require individual unit level vetting?
I am not aware of the military vetting on an individual unit basis.
No. Well, you were in charge of about 30%. You were in charge of foreign assistance at the Department of State, and the budget for security assistance was about 30% of your total budget. So
yes, ma'am.
Let me help you out on how it's supposed to work. We are supposed to do unit level vetting to make sure that each military unit that gets assistance is not violating the law. And that is the way it works. Except, this whiteboard's big, except for 15 countries. 15 countries that include a whole number of other countries. And I'm happy to read them off, but there's a long list of them, 15 countries. So I'm curious if other countries are getting special treatment. Let's say there's potential evidence that a unit of a country's armed forces has committed a human rights violation. And there are exceptions for these different processes. So, the special processes call into question if a single objection is enough to stop aid. Is that true? If there's a single objection that there is a human rights violation, does that stop aid?
When there is an accusation of abuse or misuse of U.S. resources in the security space or in the development space, for that matter, you do have the ability to raise that, and that gets vetted throughout multiple processes.
Right, that's how it works, except for who? Except for what countries? Do you know?
I'm sorry, I don't, ma'am.
Except for Israel, Ukraine, and Egypt, except for those countries. Generally, units would stop receiving assistance immediately, but there's that important concern. So when does aid stop immediately? State Department says that aid should stop immediately if there's a problem, does it?
It totally depends on the circumstances and situation.
Does it depend on the country that's getting the aid?
It also depends on the country receiving the aid, yes.
So what country does aid not stop immediately under Leahy?
I'd have to go back and look through my notes.
You don't know what country that is? It's only one in the entire world. Guess what? Except for Israel. So look, Congress has been told time and time and time again that the Leahy laws apply to everyone, to every country. And on paper, they do. But when we pull back the curtain, when we do some oversight, not all countries are being treated equally when the Leahy law is being implemented, especially our ally, Israel. Israel should be treated.
I think these are yes or no or I don't know questions. Last 3 years, unfortunately, the United States economy has experienced substantial inflation. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
That inflation is man-made, is it not?
Any inflation is man-made, sir.
And that man's name is Joe Biden, is it not?
Cannot answer that, sir.
Okay. Since President Biden took office, average electricity prices in the United States are up 29.4%, are they not?
I'll have to check the data and get back to you on that, sir.
And isn't it true that electricity prices have increased, under President Biden, have increased 13 times faster than the previous 7 years?
I'll have to check the data, sir.
Okay. And the National Energy Assistant Directors Association, I don't know if you're familiar with them. I've checked them out. They're a reputable group. They say that the average United States electricity bill will go up 10% this year and 10% next year. Is that correct?
Again, I'm not familiar with the data, but I can point out, sir, that in Europe...
I'm not interested in Europe.
In Europe, prices are 2.5 to 3% higher.
People. I'm interested in our people right now who are having to,
who are having
to sell blood in order to pay their electricity bill.
Goodness.
A substantial portion of this inflation in electricity, up 30% since President Biden took office, is directly related to his energy policies. Is it not?
Energy prices fluctuate based on supply and demand of all sources of energy, yes.
I think it has nothing. Is that a yes or no?
It's a very complicated economic question.
I understand. Give me an answer. Did President Biden's policies contribute to the inflation or didn't they?
Both Republican and Democratic administrations infused the economy with trillions of dollars, which contributes to the inflation.
Yeah,
yes.
I don't believe any Republicans voted for the Inflation Reduction Act. Is that correct?
I don't know.
Well, I do. $1.2 trillion. Green New Deal. No Republicans voted for it. You want to amend your answer?
I'll amend my answer that under President Trump and under President Biden, trillions of dollars were infused into the economy
under Trump,
and contributed to inflation
over 4 years, and under Biden they went up 30% over 3 years. Which is better?
Say again, under Trump, please.
Under Trump, electricity prices went up 5%. Under Biden, they went up 30% over 3 years. Which is better?
clearly lower rise in electricity prices better.
All right.
However,
Dr. Supran, let me ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
You're here at the request of my Democratic colleagues?
No, sir.
No, Dr. Supran.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Dr. Supran, on December 14, 2023, you tweeted in support of climate defiance. That's an entity that the Brookings Institute has called a radical climate change group. Is that correct?
I don't recall, I'm afraid.
Okay. Would this be the same climate defiance that you, I'm looking at your tweet, you tweeted in support of them. Would this be the same climate defiance that called Senator Joe Biden, quote, a sick fuck?
I don't know, but as I
would this be the same climate defiance that calls Senator Lisa Murkowski a murderer?
I do not know. As I said in my statement,
would this be the same climate defiance who told the CEO of Exxon to, quote, eat shit, Darren, close quote?
I'm not responsible for the statements of other
nice
people.
Nice group you're hanging around with, answer. Doc. Here's what your tweet says, quote, we do, in support of climate defiance, we do not do online petitions. We do not do NGO coalition letters. We do not do fucking bus stop ads. We chase fossil fuel CEOs and the politicians who do their bidding, and we do not apologize, close quote. Did I read that correctly?
That is not my tweet, sir.
That is your tweet. I'm looking at it. Here's a copy right here. It's right off your website, Biggest Dallas. On October 31, 2023, you said this on Twitter, quote, climate justice was coined by our movements to locate it as a struggle against genocidal racial injustice, colonialism, and apartheid. If your climate justice doesn't stand with the Palestinians against colonialism and apartheid, then your climate justice has no justice in it, close quote. Did you say that?
I believe not.
Here it is.
May I please see the documents?
Yes, sir. And the witnesses' documents there.
May I please point out that this form of
the senator's time has expired and there are other senators waiting.
I've got a bunch more tweets. Thank you for your objective advice.
I'm sure you
Doc.
Do. You can make put them into a question for the record.
Let me just back up, though, just a second to what was a quick exchange with Justice Kavanaugh that I just want to make sure I understand.
Yeah.
Did you agree that there are some core functions of the executive that present conduct that Congress cannot criminalize?
Yes.
Is that a form? I mean, we can call it immunity or you can call it they can't do it, but what's the difference?
We call it an as-applied Article 2 challenge.
Can we call it immunity just for shorthand's sake? So I think we are kind of narrowing the ground of dispute here. It seems to me there is some area you concede that an official acts that Congress cannot criminalize. And now we're just talking about the scope.
Well, I don't think it's a just, but I think it's a very significant gap between any official act and the small core of exclusive official acts.
I got that, but I want to explore that, okay? So, for example, let's say a president leads a mostly peaceful protest sit-in in front of Congress because he objects to a piece of legislation that's going through. Mm-hmm. And it in fact delays the proceedings in Congress. Now, under 1512C2, that might be corruptly impeding an official proceeding. Is that core and therefore immunized, or whatever word euphemism you want to use for that?
So,
or is that not core and therefore prosecutable?
Well,
without a clear statement that applies to the president.
It's not core. The core kinds of activities that the court has acknowledged are the things that I would run through the Youngstown analysis. And it's a pretty small set, but things like the pardon power, the power to recognize foreign nations, the power to veto legislation, the power to make appointments, these are things that the Constitution specifically allocates to the president. Once you get out,
a president then could be prosecuted for the conduct I described after he leaves office?
Probably not, but I want to explain the framework of why I don't think that would be prosecution that would be valid. First, I think you need to run through all of the sort of normal categories of analysis. Is there a serious constitutional question that's posed by applying that statute to the president? If so, then you may well default to it does not apply, at least on that fact.
Well, I thought
pattern.
You said it. That was my question.
Yes,
and
I understand.
You said it fell outside that core. We'll call it immunity for simplicity's sake.
Yes, I understand. But there's a separate category.
Okay, so why couldn't he be prosecuted for leading a civil rights protest in front of the Capitol that delays a vote on a piece of important legislation?
So I think what you need to do is run through all of the very president-specific protective layers of analysis. So one of them is whether the statute would be construed not to apply to his conduct, even if it's not part of that small core of things that Congress can't regulate at all, if it operates to prevent the president from fulfilling his Article 2.
He could have given speeches against it. He did.
Yes.
But he did something more, and it corruptly impeded and sought to influence an official proceeding.
Well, so I don't know. We're starting with the layers, I think, of protection, and we're now down through whether the statute would be construed to apply to him. Then there'd be a question of whether...
Assume it does.
I will assume it. Then there's a question of whether he has the state of mind necessarily
assume
to violate.
Assume he does. Corrupt.
Okay.
Well, nobody knows what corrupt intent means. We've been around that tree
think we will probably
already.
Find
and,
out.
And maybe it means that he knows that he was doing wrong, is what the government told us.
Right.
He knows he's doing wrong. He knows he shouldn't be up there blocking a congressman from...
Well, let me get to the next layer then, which is that the president does have access to the attorney general to provide legal advice and regularly gets legal advice from the attorney general on the lawful scope of the president's activities. We could go down two tracks here. One is that the attorney general advises him that as an incident of his Article II authority and in carrying out the functions of the presidency, he can lawfully participate in that protest. It's kind of the First Amendment analog to the president's official powers, which the court is exploring in other cases. Alternatively, the attorney general could advise him, I'm sorry, Mr. President, there's nothing in the language of this statute that carves you out. I don't see a serious constitutional question in it because you don't have to do that. And I would advise you not to violate the criminal law.
And then he could be prosecuted.
No.
No. If he gets a negative opinion from the attorney general, he still couldn't be prosecuted?
I'm going to assume that most presidents are not going to take an...
But if he gets one and does it anyway, then he could be prosecuted.
Well, so then if we are down at that level, I think what we are really asking is whether the president is subject to the criminal law. And our answer is yes.
Check this out.
Portugal wants to pay reparations. You heard me right. Portugal wants to compensate in some form the people affected by its colonialism. If you're not familiar, Portugal was the biggest slave trader, displacing over 6 million African men and women, forcibly moving them to Brazil, the largest country that they occupied, countries in Africa, and even a small portion of India. Portugal's president has acknowledged that mistake and said that the least they can do is to provide some sort of reparations. Just a few years ago, Brazilian President Lula went to some African countries and he handed them a business plan book in English to teach African countries how to trade with Brazil. And he said, Brazil carries a history that includes 300 years of slavery. We can't afford to pay your reparations, but we will trade with you. The world is changing, you all. We're doing it.
What she failed to realize is Brazil is our people, and it was captivity. What is she talking about, the Brazilian? Crafty council going on.
Every single man walking this earth needs to hear these following 30 things just to keep him going and keep him motivated. And if you have not heard them recently or you haven't heard them at all, let me be the first to tell you. I believe in you. You make me feel safe. I appreciate everything you do for me. I'm so proud of you. You're the strongest man I know. You're so amazing. I love the way you think. I trust you. I want you. You never cease to amaze me. I respect you. You inspire me so much. I love the man you've become. You're my best friend. I can't imagine my life without you. You're an amazing leader. I'm so lucky to have you. You make me a better person. I love you for you. You're my rock. You always know how to make me smile. I fully support you and your dreams. What can I do for you? I love learning from you. Your masculinity is so sexy. You always know how to make me feel good. You make my life better. I honor you. You're so amazing. I'm with you no matter what.
In the devastated south of Brazil, this airport is now more fit for boats than it is planes. Satellite images from before the deluge make clear what the country's president has called a national calamity. In the state of Rio Grande do Sul, which is the size of the UK, nowhere has been spared. 300 towns are completely underwater. Porto Alegre, the capital, home to 3 million people, is in a desperate state. 160,000 are homeless, there is little or no drinking water, and five dams upstream of the city are close to bursting. Food is sparse and despair has set in. Looting for medicines, for food, for survival is widespread. The ordeal looks set to continue. Three powerful storms will lash the state in the coming week. According to meteorologists, new maps of the region will have to be drawn. These floods have changed Brazil forever.
Yeah, fam, y'all hearing this stuff about Brazil and how the flooding is and what's going on in Brazil. What's really going on in Brazil? What's really going on in Brazil? You know, we see the flooding and I was watching one picture when an airplane was underwater. I'm like, it's flooding in Brazil. Let's analyze.
Drone footage shows a plane and multiple vehicles submerged in water after heavy rain lashed city of Porto Alegre in Brazil. Local authorities say the death toll has increased to at least 90, with over 130 people still missing.
Brazil has experienced extreme flooding from continuous rain over the last 4 days. And then a dam had broke, resulting in the highest river levels on record, causing significant damage. The before and after is absolutely insane. Due to the extreme flooding, they have been forced to close the water treatment plant, and many are being affected by this. So people not having access to fresh and clean water, and then on top of that, their homes being destroyed, the compounding is absolutely devastating. And to make things worse, floating debris, including ships, have crashed into many different buildings and bridges and caused them to collapse, continuing the damage. Here's a bridge in Brazil, and this is what it originally looked like, and notice the water level, but now look at it. Some people might think this is from cloud seeding, but there's been no indication of that yet. Losing this bridge is detrimental to the people of Brazil. In some areas, the water levels have reached around 9 feet. My thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in
Israel's been hit in the last few weeks by Iran, Hezbollah, and Hamas, dedicated to their destruction. And you're telling me you're going to tell them how to fight the war and what they can and can't use when everybody around them wants to kill all the Jews? And you're telling me that if we withhold weapons in this fight, the existential fight for the life of the Jewish state, it won't send the wrong signal? Do you still think it was a good idea, General Austin, to get out of Afghanistan?
I support the president's
decision. Yeah, I think you do. I think it was a disastrous decision. If we stop weapons necessary to destroy the enemies of the state of Israel at a time of great peril, we will pay a price. This is obscene. It is absurd. Give Israel what they need to fight the war they can't afford to lose. This is Hiroshima and Nagasaki on steroids.
Heard of the Mau Mau? Mau Mau was the nickname that was given to, actually I think the name was given to him by the British, but it was called the Kenyan Land and Freedom Army. This is in Kenya, East Africa. The Kikuyu Kingdom, the people, they rose up to fight against British colonization. They wanted to throw them the F out of Kenya, right? Guess how they recruited their soldiers? Now, mind you, they had to operate clandestine. They lived in the woods because, remember, they had to evade the British authorities, right? They catch you, they kill you. So guess how they recruited? I will bring you, let's say I'm one of the Mau Mau recruiters. I bring you to a meeting. You don't know where you're going. I don't want you to come to this meeting. Come check this out. We're doing something good for the community, which they were, because they ended the colonization. You come to the meeting. This is the Kenya Land and Freedom Army. We are committed to the liberation and independence of Kenya. We're going to keep every Caucasian we can find. Do you want to join? No, I don't really think this is for me. Okay. You've seen all of our faces. You know who we are. We know, you know where we are. We're going to ask you this question one more time. Do you want to join? You see how this goes? If you say no, you don't leave here alive. And then they say, who of you new recruits, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but who of you new recruits are willing to die for the revolution, for the freedom of Kenya? Raise your hand. Everybody hand go up. Put your hands down. How many of you are willing to kill for the freedom of Kenya? Only a few hands went up. So guess what? Every hand that said is willing to kill, they get a knife and a gun. Kill the one whose hand didn't go up. Because we can't afford no sellouts in this mission. You see how that went? That's how they get you in the Illuminati. When they make the offer, you're already in too deep. You don't get the offer until they know you can't walk out the door. You see how this goes? They don't step to you until they know you can't walk out the door. It's an offer you can't refuse, just like the mob.
With us. And we're trying to get the Lord back on our side.
That's right.
You can't get the Lord on your side with heathen with you. Because the scriptures say, though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished.
We're talking about evil people. I'm talking about them,
period.
Right.
These people wasn't evil in the scripture. Yeah, these people were people that went to church.
Right.
They worship God.
Right.
And you know what they said? You know what our chief men said? We ourselves together will build our nation. We'll build to our Father. You don't understand it yet, but hopefully you do.
Let me ask you this. And what do y'all say to this? This is biblical. This is from our Bible, right? It says you judge a tree by its what?
By its fruit.
By its fruit.
Right.
So I can't look at white people that I look at their fruit and I eat their fruit and they're on my side.
Which
I just
fruit?
Can't.
Which white tree have you been eating from? Because obviously...
What do you mean?
Why are you out here?
What do you mean, why am I out here?
We are out here because of the white man's fruit.
I'm out here for my kids' future that
okay,
I don't have
well,
yet.
Guess what? With your thinking, your kids are going to be another person we're protesting for.
That's right.
You know why? Because
right.
You can't judge a tree by the fruit.
That's
it,
right.
They've been killing 400 years and right. You telling me you don't see the fruit?
Damn.
They've been and robbing us and pillaging us and destroying us and right. You trying to pick out the good ones?
Come on.
Keep doing that.
Right.
See where that gets you.
Right.
Come on, guys.
America wants to invade Lesotho. Why? Because Lesotho has refused to allow the U.S. to establish their military base in Lesotho. According to the Prime Minister of Lesotho, Samuel Matikene, they will not allow the United States of America to establish their military base on their soil. And this didn't go down well with America. According to the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, Lesotho Prime Minister Samuel Matikane is a human rights violator and he should resign with immediate effect. In case you don't know Lesotho, Lesotho used to be part of South Africa, but France and the Britain, in some years back, decided to bring some kind of disagreement between them. Then Lesotho decided to fight for its sovereignty, and now it is a small country in Africa or on its own. So what I don't understand is, how can you tell me I want to establish my military base in your country and I decide to say no, and you are calling me a human rights abuse or violator? You yourself that is calling somebody a human rights violator, what makes you they have the right, that's their land, they have the right over their land, and they can decide who does what in their land. And they are saying no, and you are trying to force yourself on them. Is this what we call democracy? Is this not dictatorship, as you always speak democracy and do the vice versa of it? Kudos to Lesotho and the Prime Minister, Samuel Matikene. We love you for this bold decision. The African youth are watching, and we will keep praising every leader in Africa that is doing the right thing and making us proud. Lesotho, kudos, and we love you. What are your thoughts?
See, you can't know Messiah coming back. You're wild, you're wild. Your salvation draw near. Look up, that's the update. Only the Father know when he coming. He got the update. So should the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the update. The 12 tribes rise around the world. That's the update. California on fire. Greece on fire. Y'all, we at the end of time. Earthquakes every hour. Most high showing his power. Y'all, this place gonna get devoured. The sheep waiting on they self. He gon' get us together. Y'all, that day gon' be so special. They repenting up next. Stop that sinning before he catch you. His protection is a blessing. Song of Israel can do nothing but raise my hand. The Father about to clear the land. So Jacob return again. By the way, we found the Ark of the Covenant. We ain't playing. We know we at war. Ain't no explanation for the things that I saw. Them chariots is coming, prophecy you can't know. Messiah coming back.